We're hearing that the economy has slowly been recovering over the past few years, but something like 225,000 people in the Kansas City area live in poverty. Only one in three people living in poverty calls a suburbs home, and one in five young people is poor. The numbers don't look much better across the country. About 46 million people are living in poverty in this country, and that's 46 million people trying to provide for a family of four on little more than $22,000 a year. The Half in 10 campaign is a national initiative that's trying to cut the poverty rate by 50% in the next 10 years. With us to talk about poverty on a national level and a local level is Eric Stegman. He manages the project at the Center for American Progress. He spoke last night at the Human Service Summit hosted by the United Community Services of Johnson County. That's a once-a-year effort to focus attention on social services. Eric, welcome to Kansas City. Nice to have you.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
And here to provide a local perspective on this and tell us what area organizations are doing to combat poverty is Valerie Carson. She's the Community Planning Director at United Community Services of Johnson County. Valerie, good morning to you, too.
It's great to see you.
Valerie, what's happening to the poverty rate in Johnson County, in the Kansas, and also in the Kansas City area? What can you tell us about what's happening out there?
Well, the type of things that we're seeing is, while there has been a steady increase, at least in Johnson County since 2000, in poverty, there's been a very dramatic increase in between 2008 and 2011. In fact, 55% increase in poverty since in those 3 years.
55% increase in the Kansas City area?
No, in Johnson County.
Just in Johnson County alone, obviously as a result of the Great Recession. Do I have that right?
Yes. You saw a lot of changes in the numbers of middle management jobs, and you also saw a very strong growth in low-paying jobs, so that you started seeing more people having to take lower-paying jobs when they lost those mid-management jobs, and there was a shift.
Yeah. And since 2011, has the number ticked up, ticked down? Is it sort of leveled out? Where are we?
Well, we're not sure quite yet, because actually those numbers don't come out until September, but we'll be right on top of them when they do.
But Valerie, a 55% increase in Johnson County alone, that's buckling my knees here. That's an amazing figure.
I think people are very surprised to find that out. But 1 in 15 people in Johnson County actually lives below the poverty line. And it's even more dramatic when you start looking at people at 200% of poverty, which is what we call low income.
Yeah.
And then it's 1 in 5.
Yeah. Eric, what's happening to poverty rates in suburbs across the country? What's happening nationally when it comes to the poverty rate?
Well, nationally, I think we're seeing a lot of what Valerie was discussing here happening in Johnson County. Really, what it boils down to is that we finally saw the national poverty level out this year after getting worse for several years. But income inequality got worse, and it's at an all-time high. And I think a lot of what Valerie was discussing about the job market in Johnson County and the fact that service sector and low-wage jobs are the fastest-growing jobs are what we're really seeing on a national level right now, and that's a really key issue that a lot of families are struggling with.
So this is really a tough time.
It's a very tough time, and I think one of the things that's a little difficult for a lot of the public to understand is that we're seeing a lot of news about the economy growing again, you know, whether it's a slow growth or not. But most families are still living in the recession, and that's the reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in Johnson County when you see a rate continuing to go up like that.
Eric, when you chop these numbers down and look at them a little more closely, are we seeing the biggest jumps in the poverty rate in rural America, in the suburbs, in the cities? Do you have something like that at your fingertips?
I don't have any specific numbers, but
yeah,
we do see the trends going on. The Brookings Institution just recently released a really good report that was one of the first comprehensive looks at the suburbanization of poverty. And I think it was very surprising to a lot of people. Johnson County is not alone around the country. And what we're really seeing is that a lot of cities are becoming very expensive places to live. A lot of low-income families are starting to move out to the suburbs, and those suburbs do not have the kinds of services that a lot of the urban areas used to, so the poverty rates are really beginning to go up.
Valerie?
And if we look at the metro area and the six major counties that are in the metro area, between 2007 and 2008, you saw an official shift where actually there were more people who were poor living in the suburbs than there were in the city, with the city being considered Wyandotte and Jackson counties, and the suburbs including Johnson County, Kay, Clay, Cass, and Platte County.
That's a whole paradigm shift in how we look at all this stuff then, right?
But that is where the jobs are. Mm-hmm. And so people go where the jobs are. And if those jobs are pay less than $25,000 a year, they still have a job, but they're really struggling because things are expensive in the suburbs. And since most people don't believe that that's where people are that are experiencing poverty, you don't have the level of services you do in more concentrated areas of poverty.
Now, Valerie, I'm just wondering, is in your work every day dealing with folks who are struggling with poverty, I know your member agencies and all of that, but I'm just wondering, you know, so many folks, I'm sure, in Johnson County particularly, probably never imagined that one day they would be in the positions that they're in right now. I'm wondering, how are they dealing with it? How are they handling it? Because again, talk about just turning your life upside down very, very suddenly. We've seen so much of that in one county in Kansas.
Well, according to the service organizations that I work with, they're not handling it very well.
Boy, I bet.
And much of that has to do to the fact that they are households that have been self-sufficient for a very long time. And their expectation when they lost some of those positions was that another one would come along. And so they used up their savings, and then they used up their retirement. And here it was 2.5 years later, and they realized it's not going to come along. And they've lost all their savings and retirement and perhaps even the equity in their house. And then they have to take a job that just helps them struggle day to day.
You're making me nervous just hearing you describe that. That just sounds like just a horrific situation. So, and then how well equipped is Johnson County to help these folks going forward? How well set up is the social service network for folks like this?
Well, we have a combination of both county-level organizations and then private organizations. And I would say in Johnson County, people work really well together. And part of the reason is because we have not had large amounts of resources to address these issues. And so people have had to count on each other. Mm-hmm. And so part of what we're doing is getting these people into housing if they lose their housing.
Yeah.
We are trying to work with more self-sufficiency. But there is only so much that you can do to help the individuals if there are not good jobs for them to return to so that they can support their family and basic needs.
That's the bottom line. You got to have a job. You got to have the income stream. Yeah. Eric, as you look across the country, I'm wondering if you see different approaches to dealing with poverty, you know, for folks who live in the country, folks who live in the cities, or is it sort of a one-size-fits-all kind of approach here?
It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all approach, and I think that's a lot of what we're really starting to examine a lot more deeply these days, especially looking at the differences between rural, urban, and suburban areas and how many of those issues actually bleed between each other now.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we do know about all of them is that the way to reduce poverty is to have a job market that provides opportunities to a wide range of people, an equal employment opportunity. And then also a set of services that's there when families fall on hard times.
Yeah.
And that's how we've done it before. We've cut poverty in half after, you know, right after 1964, mainly because we had that kind of economy that was a full employment economy across the country and a really important set of safety net programs that were there to catch families when they had a rough time.
Are you seeing things improving out there? The economy supposedly is getting better. Is it making much of a difference?
You know, it was a really interesting year looking at the national trends in poverty. There were a couple highlights. One of the most important ones is that for the
first— In 2012 you're talking about?
This was actually in 2011, so that was the last—
Numbers always lag by a year.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
So in 2011 we actually saw the first improvement in health insurance coverage after several years, and we think that's a really positive changeover because out-of-pocket medical costs, according to the Census Bureau, is actually the single biggest reason that families get pushed into poverty, and that's a really huge issue. 10.6 million people were pushed into poverty just in 2011 because of out-of-pocket medical expenses.
Which is, in theory, is going to change in the next few months with President Obama's health care plan coming online. Do you anticipate much of a change?
Yeah, we definitely do, and actually we really believe that many of the improvements that came in 2011 were because of the early effects of the Affordable Care Act, particularly the new provision that allows young people to go onto their parents' health insurance plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we, especially as states begin to expand Medicaid, some states are not expanding Medicaid at the moment, but for the ones who do, that's going to make a huge difference in the bottom line for families' costs of living.
No, Valerie, obviously Kansas not expanding Medicaid, so there won't be – you expect – how much help do you expect on that end then?
Well, I'm not sure we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We do know that almost 18,000 Johnson County residents would benefit if they would expand Medicaid as planned.
Mm-hmm.
And that could make a very large difference.
What services, you know, Eric, are lacking as you look at the smorgasbord of services that are available? What does this country need to be doing more effectively when it comes to poverty that it's not doing right now?
Yeah, there's a couple really key ones. Healthcare is absolutely one of the most important ones because we know it's one of the biggest contributors to poverty. One of the other biggest ones that we're certainly seeing in places like Johnson County that needs a lot more attention and a lot more time and resources is transportation. It's a huge issue.
We were
talking to participants at the conference yesterday, and this just came up over and over and over again. And the way that we have provided access to transportation in the past is not what supports the economy of today, especially for a lot of these families that Valerie was discussing who are trying to find jobs all around these suburban areas.
You know, I guess to get political here for a moment, Valerie, you know, Johnson County has been run pretty traditionally by Republicans, conservative Republicans who haven't been interested in mass transit, those kinds of services. Do you see that changing or not? Or what does the future look like when it comes to that kind of infrastructure?
Well, I would say that it continues to be talked about. They're very aware. I think there needs to be a greater awareness among the public how many barriers that puts to people being able to be self-sufficient and
people don't
jobs.
Realize that oftentimes, right? I mean,
I don't
hopping on the bus, getting some kind of ride to work for so many folks, absolutely essential.
And I think especially in this downturn, the enormity of the investment that will take is a little overwhelming to county and city level officials who are trying to balance budgets.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things that's really crucial about that is a lot of these service sector jobs that are the fastest growing in places like Johnson County require people to get to jobs at really, you know, around the clock hours. If you look at a lot of the healthcare jobs that come onto the market, these transit services get even more expensive to run according to the hours that people need to work.
So it's not just about having the jobs, but then it's also having the transportation, having the childcare that's available all different times versus just the 9 to 5. They're having the flexibility from their employers to be able to take off if they have an emergency.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things need to be happening at the same time that you have the jobs.
And to what extent are those types of services available these days in Johnson County?
I don't know of any childcare facilities that offer overnight for people who are on different shifts. And so that I can speak to.
Nothing.
Not that I know of, but that doesn't mean that I don't know. It's mm-hmm. just something that I don't know.
But it's certainly not very common.
It is not
like.
Common.
Yesterday during the conference, Eric was saying how often the whole idea of transportation came up. I gather you heard that word mentioned quite a bit, too, yesterday.
Yes, we've heard that word yesterday. We heard it the year before. We've heard it for many, many years. There just doesn't seem to be a critical mass of will to do anything about it at this point.
Critical mass meaning what? Stakeholders are sort of spread out throughout the county, and there's not just there aren't enough pockets of people who need this kind of help that might result in a city government taking action?
I think that's at least the perception, yes. And then we have had some of these Johnson County buses, but they're often in places that aren't where the most of the people are that could use them the most. And so then the ridership isn't high. So there's not a lot of evidence that there's a need.
You just get a sense that Johnson County, even though this problem has been coming on for a number of years, just isn't ready to really confront it and then deal with it. Am I seeing that right?
I would say that in the last 3 years, there has been a much greater awareness of
awareness,
the fact that this
maybe.
Isn't that this is an issue. I think a lot of people in Kansas and in Johnson County debate about, you know, what is the best thing to do? Should we address poverty? Do we know what that would take? But I think on some level, we need to shift that discussion mm-hmm. from one of is it right or wrong to one of it is the most economically smart thing that we can do.
In what sense?
Because when you have people employed so that they can meet their basic needs, you have not only all of their income flowing back into that particular community, but their children then are also nourished and well-educated and are able to go on to be the next generation and to meet the needs of the community as it emerges. And so you have more money economically flowing. You have more you have a greater market for different services and different types of things that you might purchase.
Yeah.
And that makes the economy go faster and faster. So if they are – if everyone has the opportunity to make that living wage, to make sure that they can meet those, then we don't have to spend as much money on trying to help people out of crises.
Yeah. Eric, chime in here.
Yeah, so the other thing that I wanted to put this in some perspective with on the national level is that the other thing that we need to do is to really revamp how we look at transportation policy on the federal level. We mm-hmm. can't expect a lot of these state and local governments to be able to provide these services when we're still operating funding streams, you know, from an era of really based around cars and based around a very different diversity of people who are living in the cities versus the suburbs versus rural areas. So we really need to look differently about how federal funding streams are structured to support some of these state and local governments, particularly in suburban and rural areas, so that they can provide these services.
All that's true. And also, I guess, the reality that federal funding streams ain't what they used to be.
No, they
right?
are not.
And they're not going to be, at least for the foreseeable future that I can tell.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the other issues when we talk about reducing poverty. There's a very important role nationally to support poverty reduction efforts at the local government. That's what we've done before.
Yeah.
It was major investments in public will at the national level that really supported local governments in reducing poverty across the country years ago, and that's how we did it before. We need to do it again.
Well, we need to speak to a real person here. If you're listening and you have been mired in poverty, perhaps as a result of a job change in recent years, I'm wondering how your family has dealt with it, how you have dealt with it. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org. You can email us, too, at kcuruptodate. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. We're talking today about poverty in Johnson County, poverty nationally, with Eric Stegman. He's with a group called Half in 10, the Half in 10 Campaign, and Valerie Carson. She's a planning director at United Community Services of Johnson County. Eric, let's turn to the Half in 10 campaign, because your group has this audacious goal of wanting to cut the poverty rate by 50% in the next 10 years, and you want to do that moving into the teeth of these federal funding cuts we're talking about. How on earth are you going to achieve something like that?
Well, we can achieve it because we've done it before, and that's why we know it's an achievable goal.
How have you done it before?
Well, we've done it before, again, between two different things. There's two prongs to how we solve poverty. One is really improving the economy and creating an equal access economy for everyone to participate in it, and having living wages and jobs that support families, and also having a really important set of safety net programs that are there mm-hmm. to support families when they fall on hard times and get them back into the economy.
Yeah. So it's happened before.
It has. It's happened before. Between 1964 and 73, we cut the poverty rate in half. And that was after a lot of those important investments that we had out of the War on Poverty and several other programs that followed that.
Say there's no war on poverty. There's not as much federal funding. How do you get there then?
We really believe that it's about building the public and political will to do it again. Mm-hmm. That was really what was in place before when we decided we wanted to cut poverty. Yeah, you know, if you remember back then, there were some really important moments that happened when, like, Bobby Kennedy was touring around the South on those bus tours. And it was one of the first times that the public really saw kids with distended bellies in America. And we actually developed our campaign with our partners at the Leadership Conference for Civil Rights and the Coalition on Human Needs in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, because we really saw saw that that was a moment the public had poverty really in their face.
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of people on the media for the first time in a long time discussing poverty because they saw that this was happening right in their backyard in the U.S.
Well, one of the national leaders on poverty and wanting to reduce poverty, I covered him in a 2008 presidential campaign. His name was John Edwards. We all know what's happened to him in recent years. He was championing that cause, and he fell short.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of other leaders who are trying to champion that cause right now, too. And unfortunately, one of the things that's really gotten in the way of building that political and public will is this reckless deficit-cutting environment. And what we really need to do is hit the reset button on that entire national conversation and talk about investing in both our economy again and investing in things like poverty reduction.
Who is the champion right now for wanting to deal with poverty, the national leader on that issue as far as you're concerned, in terms of a spokesman that people might recognize?
I think we've had several. Cory Booker in Newark has done quite a bit of work, particularly around some of the issues like hunger and really supporting nutrition assistance. We've also had some really important leaders from the faith community like Sister Simone, who did a bus tour around the country really talking about what it means to put values back in our federal budget and seeing that the federal budget is actually a values document and to stop talking about it like it's just this reckless thing we should cut. It's really about supporting our economy and supporting families.
Lots of phone calls here. We're talking about poverty in Johnson County and poverty in America. Let's go to some calls right now at 816-235-2888. Marie from Shawnee. Marie, good morning. You're on Up to Date.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I really resonated with something one of your speakers said when she talked about, you know, keeping people employed, you know, in good-paying jobs and that whole effect that it has in the future. My father lives in a small town of about 10,000. My previous in-laws, who are now passed away, live in a town of about 10,000. And their main streets are drying up. So many of the businesses that used to be there, you know, that were run by people who, you know, they had these jobs as the managers and the entrepreneurs. When the big stores came into their towns, those stores could not compete and they closed.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad lives in New Mexico. That other town is in Missouri. I've seen it, you know, and right now, as a matter of fact, I pulled over because I'm on my way down to visit my dad because he's elderly, et cetera, et cetera. There's not really good jobs anymore left for those towns, so the people have to leave. And I even see it, you know, locally. So I see more and more people having to take jobs in those bigger stores, which are lower paying, and there's not as much opportunity
right.
for advancement.
Right.
So anyway, I just thought I'd make that comment and see what you all had to say.
Yeah, Marie, I'm glad you called. Thank you. And you that echoes some of the points you were making, Valerie, about the importance of jobs and how badly we have to have them, right? Yeah. Let's go to Felix from Lee Summit. Felix, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. A couple of comments. 4.5 years ago, I got laid off from a major employer in the metro here, and I went from six figures to I literally have sent out 5,512 applications in the past 4.5 years.
Wow.
Only 8 companies have even replied. 2 granted me over the phone interviews. I have double graduate degrees. I went from six figures to literally collecting food stamps. I'm on a break at a office building where I clean toilets 8 hours a week for minimum wage. One of the 3 jobs that I work, besides delivering newspapers, 2 for the Star at 3 o'clock in the morning. But more importantly is the way America has changed and the way families treat each other and close friends treat each other and people who are in parts of the country where the recession is not as bad as it is here, such as in Texas, can't believe that there are people that are in poverty. They can't believe that I can't get a job. My own siblings, my own family thinks that there's something wrong. What do you mean you can't get a new job in 4.5 years? So if things are good for them, everything's cool.
Yeah. Felix, I feel your pain. I'm so sorry. Wish you the best of luck. James from Kansas City, Missouri wants to know, what is the poverty level in terms of dollars? Anyone have you have a figure handy? How much do you have to earn to qualify? Or
a family of 3 in 2011 would make less than $18,500 a year.
I want to thank you both for coming in. Good conversation today. Thanks for enlightening us. Eric Stegman, manager at American Progress for the Half in 10 campaign. Valerie Carson, the community planning director at United Community Services of Johnson County. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll discuss immigration policy. Secretary of State Chris Kobach will be here. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Caitlin Brennan, and Sangeeta Shastri. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.